Good afternoon, brethren. Happy Sabbath to you. It's always good to be at services on the Sabbath, no matter where you are. And if you just put yourself into it, you always get that uplift from the Almighty One. I want to welcome those on the cybercast again, and I hope you're doing well. And for you here, I hope you're doing well also. I have a little message here I'd like to give to you. I'll give you the subject first. Maybe that'll help. This is to God the Father. Can we say this? You are my God, and I am your people. We're living in a time that people like to claim things for themselves. They always want to say, my bank, my doctor, my whatever it is mine. But can we say this to God the Father and to his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ? Can we make that statement and say it and it will be true? That is what I want to try to get across today. Now, I'm not here to try to start anything against the status quo about claiming things for yourself and your own. But I would like to raise the question of what we do claim. We want it to be true, and we want it to be real, and we want it to be to the one that created us. That's God Almighty. And his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Can we say truly that you are my Lord, and I am your disciple? That is the subject that we have for today. Now, they both, God the Father and his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, has made statements like this about us. I am your God, God says many times. And you are my people. Sometimes he'll just act for his name's sake and say that I will be your God and you shall be my people. Christ also said that he was Lord, and we were to be his disciples. Does that focus on your mind and my mind so that as we go through our daily lives, we will say and live so that we can claim for sure that we are Christ's disciple and that we are a people of God? And both that God the Father is our God and we are his people. Let's look at some of this just to see how it works. We're living in a time now when everything is in turmoil. Many people are claiming everything. Everything you can think of is before you. And everybody is claiming everything and latching on to all kinds of things. If you name it, someone will claim it. And if you just stop for a moment, they will come out and make a part of their lives to be whatever it is. And we, the called out ones, are to have a claim also as well. We are to be God's people. What does it take to be God's people? And what does it take to be truly a disciple of Jesus Christ, our Lord? Let's look at some of it. Now, you find, in brief, in brevity, in the Holy Scriptures, many times when God says that, I am your God. But what does that mean to us when he say, I am your God? Should we come back with, and I am your people? Or should we just hide ourselves somewhere and shrink away and not respond as we are his people? Let's look at an example of this when God is claiming that he is God to a certain people. Back in Genesis chapter 17, we'll turn back there. We know that in Genesis 12, we saw where Abraham was called out of the world, that he was in, that was away from all of his other people, away from his family, and away from his brothers and sisters, and away from all of them, he and his wife, Sarah, was called and says, get out, move away. And then in a physical sense, we get to see what it takes. But later, we'll come to see what it takes spiritually and mentally. And we come down to chapter 17, and we have this statement said, verse 1. And when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and become perfect. Now, first of all, when he said become perfect, that's a challenge that you, Abraham, had. This is very personal. In verse 2, we see, and I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. So God is promising then he will have a covenant with this individual, Abraham. Verse 7. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your seeds, that's the children, after you and their generations for an everlasting covenant. It was going to last forever. To be a God to you and to your seeds after you. So God has made this promise that he would be a God to a person that he is calling out, to be a God to him and his seeds after him. I think that was very personal to Abraham. And I feel that we too are called, and it should be personal to us, and we should not let it slide. And you can see through the Holy Scriptures this being worked out. Also, in calling of Abraham, you also notice that his children also was called. Therefore, his children should carry this on after them. As we scan through the Bible, we see the process of their calling being worked out. Abraham and his wife Sarah, and it's recorded in the Bible throughout. There are things one must do to be one of God's people. Now that is the catch. That is something it seems like the world has always now overlooked. And they don't accept it. But there are things that must be done for God to be your God. And there are things that you have to do to be one of God's people. And if we want to claim that we are God's people, we must also accept what it takes to be so. John chapter 6, if you go there, please. John chapter 6. We'll go back and see how this worked, because what happened is, as God called the people, he brought them through a process. And as we look back to the Old Testament, we can see this process going on and on and on. But yet here we come to the New Testament point where the Son of God, Jesus Christ, fills in the details so we know how it works more clear, even with Abraham, because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Notice what he says here in John chapter 6, verse 44. Now, we like to claim that we are Christian. But can we prove it? That's why I bring the message. To remind us that we must prove that we are who we say we are. John chapter 6, verse 44. Jesus Christ is speaking. Notice what he says. Now, we have to believe this to be what we say we are. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draws him. And I, Jesus Christ said, will raise him up when? In the last day. Verse 65. And he, Jesus Christ, is speaking again. He says, therefore said I to you, that no man can come to me except it were given to you of my Father. So therefore we see, if God does not call us, we cannot be Christ's disciple. It's just that clear. We cannot be Christ's disciple if God does not call us. The words are here. I read them. And they are true. They are true. But we also see something that's required of the ones that God has called. Notice it. Verse 45. We'll read that verse again. We're up here. Now, Jesus Christ is still speaking, and he said this. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that has heard and has learned of the Father comes to me. Now we see how we get that opportunity. We see how we get that opportunity. And also, again, and verse, let's continue here in verse 46. Not that any man has seen the Father, save he which was, not he which is of God, he has seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believe in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Now, that should give us courage then to want to be a part of this if we want to have everlasting life. Now, we receive this calling from God. But what does that have to do with us? The life of Abraham revealed the pathway. We saw how that they were taken out away from everyone amongst them. They couldn't be like all the people around them. So God called them out of there to let them see what that really took for them to do. But what about us? What are we required to do? Acts chapter 2. I'm sure you're ahead of me on this, but Acts chapter 2. We'll look at some of this just for reference of this message. In Acts chapter 2, we'll read verse 38. Then Peter said to them, repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? For the remission of sin, that you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit. And chapter 3, verse 19, we'll see that what it takes for that gift to work. Repent you, therefore, and be converted. The change that we have to take. Abraham made a change when he left everyone that he had known before and moved out. In our day, we don't leave them. We have to change the inward part, what is in us. So we have to be converted, and to, that your sins may be blotted out. When the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Now, that is what happens when we are called. And you are required to do that in order to be God's people. That's what the word says. Psalms 33. Let's go back there for a moment and see how David looked upon this. Psalms 33, and we'll pick it up in verse 11. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. All generations, so that there alone we see that it's not just for the Israelites. It's for all generations. Blessed is the nation whom God is for. Whom God is the Lord, and the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. We heard about that in the first message, the inheritance. Now, the inheritance of we are receiving now is from God, who've called you and I, just as he called Abraham out. He have called us out. And so as he's called us out, we see all the promises that God has offered to us, and yet he's going to tell us, and you'll see more of this, what we must do to fulfill that inheritance, what we'll have to do. The Lord looked from heaven. He beholds all the sons of men. No one excluded in that. From the place of his habitation, he looks upon all the habitation of the earth. He fashioned their hearts alike. He consider all their works. When you think about this, it should be happening to you, and God always keep his promise. Now, as we accept this, and as we are developing it, notice some of the things that we have to look at. Go back now to Leviticus chapter 26. Leviticus chapter 26. God is speaking through Moses. He says this, "And I will set my tabernacles among you, and my soul shall not abhor you." That he won't look at us with a bad sense. "And I will walk among you and will be your God." You notice it? "I will be your God, and you shall be" what? "My people." You shall be my people. "I am the Lord your God." And that's what God has said. Now, God is claiming that he is our God. And he's also saying that we are his people. Do you consider that? Do you focus on that as you live your life? Deuteronomy chapter 7. Let's go there for a moment. Deuteronomy chapter 7. We'll pick it up in verse 6. "For you are holy people to the Lord your God." Should I read that again? "You are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a special people to himself above all the people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because you are more in number than any people, for you are the fewest of all the people, but because the Lord loved you." Do you think about that? It says it here. "Because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep his oath, which he has sworn to your fathers, has the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand to redeem you out of the house of bondage from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt." Now, God has called us, and he's redeeming us. He's calling us out. And God is true to what he says. He's true to what he says. Abram, children was also called with him. And each of them was to pass this on. It was a thing that was passed on. If you think of it, because of what Abraham, what happened to him, and what he passed on to his children, and his children passed it on to their children, it took obedience of God. And because of that, we can stand or sit or read what was passed on here in the Bible today. Otherwise, if you aren't going to pass it on, it would have been lost. Are we making sure that we strive with all of our being to pass it on from generation to generation and to generation and onward? Or do we just let it slip and slide away. If we are God's people, he requires us to pass it on. Now, some of them may not accept it. We saw that all through the Bible. But the remnant did accept it. The remnant passed it on. We claim that we are what? That remnant. Are we passing it on? Today, you have all kind of things going on. All kind of pulls. It was true in those days too. But are we going to pass it on no matter what? Our duty is to accept it, live it, and pass it on. So that our generation might be able to pass it on. Because who knows what 2021 will bring. We're living in this time now. Are we living so it can be passed on? Or are we giving up and letting the world take over and not pass it on? You know, Dr. Ward has been reminding us that we are to strive to live holy. He's mentioned it several times. He says that we should try to live as God is. And he reminds us of that so that we can get focused on who our God really is. Now we know that when he says that, he wants us to live so that we will obey God. That we will represent God the Father. And we get to do it through his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are to then accept the authority of that system all the way down through this age. And that's what the church should be represented as. And as we do that, we have to strive to think so that we'll know that God Almighty is our God. He is the God of my life and your life. What he says goes. And we are his people. That we do what he says. We do what he tells us. We'll come to a point in just a moment to show you that when you have that, you are not trying to usurp anything that does not belong to you. It won't be. Now, if we claim that God the Father is our God and we are his people, we know that his Son has his authority and has a role. He has shown us, his Son shows us how to submit to a God in your life. He says, I can say nothing. What I do what the Father tells me. What I say what the Father tells me. So he was under orders. And as we go, we find out that God, the Father, allows us and he calls us, as we saw earlier, through his Son, Jesus Christ, and assign us to his Son, Jesus Christ. We saw that. As we go back now and see some of the examples that we need to do, we'll turn back into Exodus and we'll see that there were people there down in bondage crying out for help. And we'll see how this worked out. In Exodus chapter 3. In Exodus chapter 3. We see a people which should be happening to us because we think about this is a different kind of bondage from the people in Israel. It was a physical hard task bondage. But I think if you look at the way the society is now, the things that always bombarding us with our mind, with our daily lives, we're in just as much bondage as they were. And we should be calling out to God just as they did. So let's look at some of the things that happened to them and apply it to ourselves. Exodus chapter 3, we'll pick it up in verse 6. We're just highlighting through here now. Moreover, he said, that is God said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And verse 7, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, which is symbolic of sin that we are in today, and have heard their cries. Are we allowing our cries to be heard to God? By reason of the taskmakers, for I know their sorrows. Are we sorrow? The sorrow that we should have is because it's kind of tough for us to live God's way today. And we can't live it any better if we're doing our best. And I am come down to deliver you out of the hand of the Egyptian, to bring you up out of the land to a good land and a large, to the good land and a large, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to place. Let's just drop through that because there are a lot of things there. We can drop through that verse. Because that would be, if you were switched those people in there, which our people are all about us. It's not like a whole nation against us here, a whole nation against us there. We'll face that when we go to the store, when we go to the gas service station, when we, everything we do, the world is not a part of God. We are the people of God. Therefore, those things are on us, on a mental, emotional strain. And we should be focusing and crying out just as they did because of the hard task, labor, bondage. And so, as we call upon God, these are the things that we should be doing. Okay, let's go now. We'll read Verse 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cries by reason of their taskmakers, for I know their sorrows. Now let's drop over now to verse 15. And God said moreover to Moses, thus shall you say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me, that is, he sent Moses, today we get it through the church, to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. So then God has promised this throughout all the generations of the land. We'll go now and read verse 30. Verse 30 of the same chapter. Oh, I got ahead of myself. I got ahead of myself on that. Chapter 6 and verse 7 is what I wanted. Chapter 6, verse 7. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bring you out from among the burdens of the Egyptians. That can happen to us. Our problems and our burdens and the thing that bog us down in our mind, if we are crying out to God, as we see here, God will deliver us from and give us ease for it. Leviticus chapter 11. I'm merely trying to show how that God claims that he is our God and what he does to prove it. and that we should remember it and not let it slip away in our minds. Verse 43. You shall not make to yourself an abominable which any creep with any creeping things that creep, neither shall you make yourselves unclean with things that you should not be defiled thereby. I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore set apart yourself, that's sanctified, set apart yourself, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. See, we had to be like God. If he's holy, we should try to be holy. That is what he called us to. And verse 45, for I am the Lord that bring you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. He keeps reminding us that we should strive to be what? Holy. Most of the time you hear people say, oh, you can't be holy. That's contradictory to what God is telling us. To make a difference between the unclean and the clean. That's what he tells us. And between the beasts that may be eaten and the beasts which may not be eaten. Now, some of these things we have pretty good. But we had to do them all. 18, Leviticus 18. We'll read verse 2. Speak to the children of Israel, he tells Moses, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. Again, verse 4. You shall do my judgment and keep my ordinance to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. We got to do what? Obey God's law. We got to walk within them and keep them. You shall therefore, verse 5, you shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgment, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. How often when you're in the heat of the moment with your conversation and with your thought, think that I must keep God's commandments so I can't just say anything. I can't just do anything. This is what we need to focus on. I need to focus on it. And I hope you feel that you do also. Because it's very important for us to do that, to be God's people. Leviticus 19, verse 2. Speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel and say unto them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. How many times? You know, I don't just remember, since I've been in God's church, called out by him, thinking of the fact that I should be holy. Now, that's easy to run around not thinking, I'm just going around thinking, I'm holy, I'm holy, I'm holy. No. With my conversation, that's where I should focus on it. With my action, that's where I should focus on. This is what God is telling us in our action, in our deeds. Because, see, Christ crawled to leave us with the people among the people of the earth so that we can live that life before them and that we must walk in those ways and live that way. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2. You shall not add to the words which I command you, neither shall you diminish anything from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. That's what Moses said. Now, I don't call myself adding to the words of God or diminishing away from them. But in my actions, when I deal with certain things, that is where it comes through. In my actions, in my thoughts. And when someone is saying something to me that I don't want to hear, I may just kind of skip around what God tells me to do. That's diminishing God's words. If I'm going to be a God, people of God, I have to do what he tells me. That is what I'm trying to get across in this message. And I know we all know this. But how much do we think about it? How often do we consider it? Is it a part of our daily task? Verse 5. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me. This is Moses speaking. That you should do so in the land where you go to possess it. So everywhere I go, I should remember this. Keep therefore and do them. Notice to keep saying do them. For this is your wisdom. Is that my wisdom? How about yours? And your understanding in the sight of the nation which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Why? For what nation is there so great who has God so near to him, them, as the Lord your God is in all things that we call upon him for? So when we call upon God and ask him, then if we live that way, then people will notice that, say, why did they get away with so much things? Or certain things happen to them. And what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgment so righteous as this law which I set before you today? And one little warning. Only take heed to yourself that you keep your soul diligently lest you forget. Lest you forget. Therefore, we need to be reminded enough so that we will not forget. We will not be able to use that excuse. Verse 30. Verse 30. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not forsake you, neither destroy you, nor forget the covenant of your fathers which he swore unto you. Now see, God will not forget. But what about us? When we put things in place of God, we are designing ourselves to what? Forget. Verse 40. You shall keep therefore this statute and his commandments which I command you this day that it may be well with you and with your children after you, and that you may prolong your days upon the earth which the Lord your God give you forever. We can go on and on looking at how God direct the people that is his people. Because he cares for us. We read that he loves us. And that he wants us to do things in a way that it will be well with us. Psalms 81. Psalms 81. Just highlighting through a few of these things that shows what the people of God are dealt with. Verse 10 says, I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. Now he's going to fill it with his words, his laws, his commandments, his statutes, his precepts. He's not going to fill it with a bunch of garbage. He's going to fill it with things that it takes to follow and be obedient to him. That's what he'll do. Verse 12. So I gave them up to their own heart. Maybe I should read verse 11. But my people would not hearken unto my voice, and Israel would not, none of me. So I gave them up to their own hearts, their heart lust, and they walked in their own counsel. Do you have a problem with that sometimes? Doing it your way? God will let you. We just read it. We just read it. And if you read on down through there, you'll see what happens when you do that. You're not God's people. And you're not, if you're claiming you're God's people, then you're faking a fraud or a hypocrite. Now, it's true, none of us are perfect, and we haven't gotten to be holy yet, but we should strive to be holy. We should strive to be perfect. We want to do it God's ways. That is what we're here for. This is a reminder that I want to proclaim to you today, just because I know that you already know these things. But this is a reminder for you so that we can go through the days that's facing us now. Facing us now. This is a tough time that we are living in. And we need to focus on God because that's where our relief comes from. And we need to know that we are not like the world, but we are people of God, and God takes care of his own. We shouldn't forget that. We must never forget that. There are many scriptures that shows how the people of God must live in the covenant that he's called. This message is given to the intent that we will not allow this to happen to us. We should learn from their mistakes. We must stay focused, even though the world is falling apart all around us. We must stay focused. And we need reminders. And we should remind one another, not of our own selves, but of the words and the wisdom of God. The question remains, if God is true, and God says he is our God, and we are his people, the question remains, what about us? Can we definitely say he is our God and we are his people? And to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, can we say that you are our Lord and I am your disciple? We need to focus on those things. I see that my time is going faster than I would like here. So I'm going to have to start putting some acts to my message. Jeremiah 7:23. But these things commanded I them, he was referring to the people at that time, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. Walk you in all the ways that I command you, that it may be well with you. Verse chapter 11, verse 4. Which I command your fathers, and the days that I brought you forth out of the land of Egypt from the iron furnace, saying, obey my voice, and do them according to all which I command you, so you shall be my people, and I will be your God. And all through the scriptures, you see over and over where the prophets are reminding the people what God requires for them to be a people. We must remember this so that we can be a people. I'll skip down now to chapter 32. And we'll read here in chapter 32, verse 38. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. And I will give them a heart and one way, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and for their children after them. You notice how it always claims about the children. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, and I will not turn away from them to do them good. I will put my fear in their hearts, and they shall not depart from me. I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will plant them in this land assuredly with my whole heart and with my whole soul. That's how much God wants us to be his people. That's how much we need to realize that God is calling us to be his people. God is calling his people out of this world and directing their paths. And we are those called out people to walk in his ways, to live his ways. We must do it to be his people. We cannot act like the people of this world and be God's people. Ezekiel, we'll go there for a few scriptures. Ezekiel chapter 11. We'll just pick up a few scriptures here in Ezekiel 11. It's all through the book. All you have to do is look for it. Just look at how many times God has claimed that he will be our God. And then he'll let us know what is required to be our God and what we have to do to be his people. Ezekiel 11, we'll pick it up in verse 18. And they shall come there, and they shall take away all the detestable things, therefore, and all the abomination thereof from there. We have to clean ourselves up. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and you in you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and will give them a heart of flesh. You notice? So then we got to do that for God to clean us up, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinance and to do them, and they shall be my people and I will be their God. You see, we have to clean ourselves up. And if we look at what's going on in the world today, we are constantly getting bombarded and rubbed in on us all this ungodly things. We got to clean it up for God to be our people. Let's look over now to Zechariah. There are a lot of scriptures in Zechariah also that claim this, but I'd like to turn to one in specifically, and this is Zechariah chapter 13. Zechariah 13. And this will help you see where the title of the message came from today. Zechariah 13, we'll read verse 9. And it says, I will bring the third part through the fire, and I will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name. That's us, should be calling on God's name. And I will hear them. He'll listen to us. I will say, it is my people. He'll say, it is my people calling on me. I'm going to listen to them. And notice what he says that we will say. The Lord is my God. Can we make that statement? Should we try to make that statement? We have been called to make that statement, and he'll give us all the help we need to make that statement. Romans. Turn over to Romans chapter 9. We'll go over here. You see that this is not just Old Testament stuff. Romans chapter 9, verse 24. We'll begin reading there. Even us, that's us here, whom he has called, that's us, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. So you can't say you're just Israelite. Is everybody a call by God? As he says also in Hosea, I will call them my people. That's what God will call us, his people, which were not my people. That was before he called us. And her beloved, which was not my beloved. Now he's showing that he loves us. And it shall come to pass that in the place where I was said to them, you are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. We have that promise. That can happen to us. What I say that can happen to us, it's a task that we must pursue relinquishly, without change, without giving up. We can't cut back on it. We have to go all the way. We have to go all the way. And you know, in Revelation 18 and verse 4, he says, come out of her, my people. And we must come out. We can't just play it, no matter how old you are or how young you are. You're called out. We can see their children as a call out. Josiah and others as 8 and 9 years old, people that God called and worked with, and they serve God. So there's no excuse, whatever. God is faithful and true, and he will perform his part until the end without fail. We see over and over that he called the people, and he says that he will be their God, and they should be his people. There is but one remaining thing to be done. That is for us, you and me, to confirm our part of the agreement of the living God, to see if we can truly say, I am your God, and live so we can really prove it, that God will say, you are my people. And to Jesus Christ, you are my Lord. And I am your disciple. Think of all the people who can really prove this. For the example, we have David, the three Hebrew children. They just go back and read what they said and show and see how they shows what it takes to be God's people. Nothing was able to turn them away from it. And we saw how that God says He is the one who sets us apart. Let's go back for a moment and read something I think that's important. You see, God called us, and we read it earlier in John 6:44. 6:44, and you sure we all know this. So no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draws him, and I will raise him up in the last day. And we also know what it says in 65. But, and we see it in verse 37, all that the Father gives me shall come to me, and him that come to me I will in no wise cast out. And I will in no wise cast out. That's a task that we must pursue. And then also we see how that verse 45, it is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that has heard and has learned of the Father comes to me. Now, when we go to God, Christ, what happened? He teach us. He trained us. He got the words before us. But what does he do with us once he got us already called and worked out? Exodus chapter 14. Let's read that. John chapter 14. Let's read it. John chapter 14. We'll pick it up in verse 6. Notice something here. Jesus says to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to me. No man comes to me to the, no, no man come to the Father but by me. So you see, what happened is God calls us, sign us to Christ. When Christ get through with us, the only way you can get back to the Father is you got to go through whom? Jesus Christ. He just said it. No man comes to the Father but by me. And so we have to be his disciple and live according to the rules of his discipleship so that he will assign us and set us back to God. And when that happens, something very important occurs. Verse 21, let's read there. He that has my commandments and keep them, he it is that love me. And he that love me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Verse 23. If a man love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we, both the Father and the Son, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. You see, we got to live so that Christ can turn us back to the Father. And that they, which are in one mind, in one heart, and one desire, will come back to us and take us in to the family of God with them. And then we will been able to live so that we have proven that God Almighty is our God and we can claim it. This is my God. I am his people. That's what we got to do. This is my Lord. I am his disciple. And our lives has to prove it. We have to live it. And we have to not be ashamed, because Christ says, if you are ashamed before me, I'll deny me, I'll deny you before my Father. And that means that we won't get there. But just remember, as we live and go through these days that we have now, let us learn to cry out with the truth to God Almighty. You are my God. And mean it. I am your people. And live it. You are my Lord. And I am your disciple.